A very good morning. Welcome aboard the AM to PM. I'm Consolate. We will be going all the way till the hour of 3 p.m. playing you lots of fresh hits. I have money to give away. The brain game is now at 3,170,000 shillings. You can also call in and say hello.
I've always wanted to do radio since I was a young child.
It's Post Malone and a Doja Cat there with I Like You, playing for you on Fresh Hits for Uganda Capital FM. It is the AM to PM with Consolate. A very good afternoon. Welcome aboard if you're just joining us for today.
Afro Millennial, the podcast, is a casual sound space for millennial creatives in Uganda and across the African continent to share their life stories. The podcast discusses a healthy balance of their professions, passions, and personal lives and offers a bit of perspective and lessons from their life experiences. Come on, let's have fun.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another episode of AfriMillennial, the podcast. My name is Anthony Michael Mwami, and I'm your host. And with me in the house today, I have a multi-potentialite. So to speak. It's not a problem of what she does, it's more a problem of what can she do. She does a lot of things, but we'll find out over time. Ladies and gentlemen, Consolate Namialo, you're welcome.
Thank you for having me.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. Yeah. That intro that you've given me, multi-potentialite, it feels like you know things about me that I don't know.
That even you don't know. Just be ready. I'm about to spring like some new information on you during this episode about you.
I will
like,
be shocked.
Oh, really?
I'm waiting to
I
hear.
I do that.
There's some things that
I don't know.
I can't wait. I can't wait.
Yes. I have like a whole tub of new information about you that, is just going like spring up on you.
I'm ready. Shoot.
Absolutely.
Ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Afro Millennial, the podcast.
Wow.
Now, let's get down into it. Consolate.
I'm ready.
You ready?
Mm-hmm.
So before I start giving you information about, you know, what I found out about you, let me start us off with, you know, like, I don't want to be giving information and it's like, some of it is like inaccurate. I mean, some of it is new to you, but some will be inaccurate. So I need to first.
The good thing is that I'm here. So whatever is inaccurate, we shall dispel it and clear it out.
Ah, yeah, let's start it off like this. What can't you do?
What can't I do?
Yeah.
There's a lot of things I can't do. I can't mention them, but I'm not some kind of superwoman. So
No. Like, are there those, you know, like, you're creative, first of all.
Yeah.
Are there those things like creative abilities, like creative hobbies that you've looked at and you're like, I mean, I'm capable of so much. How come I can't do that yet?
Yeah, definitely.
Like what?
You see, there's that aspect where you, when you're shooting or telling stories and videos, because I really like video and photos and, you know, telling stories through video. So there's the guys who fly that thing, what's it called?
The drone?
The drone.
Yeah.
That is one thing I want to try out because I have a feeling those guys have like a perfect view of things when they are taking their shots. Because us, when we watch the finished product, we're like, wow. So these guys were, you know, in charge of this, directing and watching everything, you know? So I guess that's one of the things that I also want to try out.
Yeah.
But there's a couple of other things that I want to do. If I start mentioning them, we might
slip. Like quite a lot.
It's quite a lot.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It's funny you mentioned that whole drone thing because I watched this reel about videography being expensive. And as they're breaking it down, they're like, then you invest in this drone that you can't really use because as soon as you try to fly it, you find out every place around the world is a no-fly zone for drones. And sometimes you're just like scared of crashing it. So you just never really fly it.
And you need to spend a lot of money on it.
And I am that person. Like,
the you buy drone, stuff and keep it.
No, like the drone is here with me. I've just not flown it out much.
Wow.
But it's been more like a problem of opportunity because like, Kampala is not a place where you just like fly drones for us. So you sort of need to like go out to safer spaces to be able to fly it. But I totally get what you mean.
So, yeah, like, you can't fly that particular.
The whole point of investing in it was because the end result looked very amazing. But now, more on what exactly it is that you do. What's your creative journey been like?
So when you talk about creative,
as a creative, like everything, media, everything, content, okay. Everything, yeah.
I think for me, I've always wanted to like do radio since I was a young child, because I have a big brother who used to always listen to Sanyo in particular. Mm. And I used to listen to those guys and feel like they're having a lot of fun and all that. So I was like, maybe someday I'll be able to do this, but I didn't know when or how. But I guess that thing they say about the law of attraction, sometimes when you see things and manifest them and profess them and just tell people about them, I guess there's a way they find
into
you.
Into existence, yeah.
Yes, there's a way they find you. So for me, I had a friend who was working on radio when we were at campus, and just because she knew that I always used to just say, oh, by the way, I want to do radio. So she was leaving to go to Kenya, and she needed someone to sit in for her ASAP. She just told her supervisor that, I think I know someone who can sit in for me, but I didn't have any experience. That's because she was like, no, me, I know she can do it. So yeah, I just came in, they like trained me for a week and put me on air. And everyone was like, what, have you done this before? Blah, blah. So it was, I think, something in me that I knew I could do. And when I got the opportunity, I just started doing it. So from there, I never looked back. I've done a lot of radio. I'm still on radio now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but of course, when you talk about creativity, even when it comes to radio, you have to be creative in the way you present stuff, in the topics you put forward, in the way you design it or style it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it's very complicated. It's not like TV where you can just see it and, you know, I'm not saying that TV is easy, but if you're there and you present yourself and everything goes well, but behind the microphone, when no one is seeing you, you work extra hard for people to stay impressed and whatever, right?
It's funny, for like the most random reasons ever, I've always taken radio to be a bit simpler than TV.
Uh-oh.
I didn't know that it was the other way around.
Wrong. Very wrong.
Ah.
It's the other way around. Right? Because even on TV, I feel like there's people producing for you stuff. Mm-hmm. There's a teleprompter that you're looking at and all that. So for radio, you just have to be as creative as, because now the person that is listening to you cannot see you. So they're trying to figure out, you know, what is this person about? What are they doing? So you also have to impress them to keep them there listening to you. At the end of the day, we are more visual people.
Mm-hmm.
They have nothing to see. So you have to work two times harder than the person on TV for you to have a good show.
Super.
Mm.
So then how does Consulate move from working on, you know, like doing stuff for radio into videography and content generation and things of the sort?
Yeah. So at some point I was like, I need to call myself something. Because, you know, sometimes when someone asks you, what do you do? Or what? Then people will start saying, I write, I do voiceover, I do radio, I produce, I am this kind of person. So you, there's very many things you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized when I put together all the things that I'm actually trying to do, I'm trying to tell stories. So I call myself a storyteller. In everything that I do, I discover that I'm telling stories. And it's so funny because when most of my friends that I went to school with find me, they're like, oh my God, Consulate, I am not shocked that you're doing what you're doing. Because when we were in school, you're the person who used to sit down, collect all of us in a circle and start jazzing us stories, films, you know, all those things. And they would always say that, you know, if you didn't watch that thing and Consulate narrates it to you, trust me, you don't even need to go and watch it. You know it. It is exactly that. So yeah, I decided to call myself a storyteller because in everything that I do, I tell stories, whether it's in writing, whether it's in producing, whether it's in directing videos and whatever, it's all about storytelling. Yeah.
Beautiful. Growing up in school, we had a few consulates, you know, like storytellers, like movie narrators. And then, like, if they ever narrated a movie to you that you had not yet watched, if you ever went and watched it after they narrated it, it would feel like, the other version is better. Like, I like Consulate's version better. Because, you know, you guys would, like, dramatize those stories. And Adisha and what?
That's what I've been telling you on radio. You have to work harder. So that by the time the person watches it, they're like,
Now that makes sense. Because you'd go and watch, like, a Jackie Chan movie and it is, like, it's nothing like how the guy narrated it.
Mm.
Like, it was so much better in audio.
You have
audio.
To put your own, you know?
Yeah. Like, they would totally cook it for the audience. It was the most amazing thing to watch. So coming back to being a storyteller, what was your point of entry into that? Like, did it kick off with you telling your own stories, or have you always been like in a better place to tell other people's stories?
So first of all, I love people. I just love humanity and everything. When it came to storytelling, I think the first time I felt like I really want to do this, a friend of mine and myself, we started like a magazine. It's called Gleam. And with Gleam, we were telling other women's stories. So we would go, we would like maybe do some research and then find out people who have interesting stories, but also no one has told them yet, or no one has told them the way we feel like they should be told. So we used to go find those people, interview them, and write about them. So that's when I realized that, okay, I can actually do storytelling. You know, sometimes when we, you know, people from, I think I should say face value, or you just, what you see is what you get.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't know the depth of their story, what it's like. And I guess I think that's why I've also become this kind of person who likes reading autobiographies, because there's very many people that I love, that inspire me and all that. But I'm like, what's it about this person? Is there something more to them or something like that? How can I, you know, then get to know their story and know them for who they really are as a person? So yeah, that's one of the things that inspired me to become a storyteller, to tell like the real authentic stories of people and not just what you see is what you get. Yeah.
Beautiful. And what's that journey been like for the Gleam magazine? Has there been a point where the stories that you collect sort of speak back to you in terms of character and vice versa? Have you had those points where, you know, like you're telling someone's story and then it sort of relates with you in a sense that you feel like you could step into who they are as a person, or do they feed back into you?
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, like we're all humans, and most of the times we don't know, but we want the same things. We might want them in different ways, but we want the same things. Sometimes even the things that inspire us are the same things. So you can talk to someone and realize, oh, by the way, at some point in my life, I also have that kind of story, or I have that kind of experience. And then sometimes you speak to someone and you realize you're learning from their story. Oh, this is what I've been looking for. Oh, this person did it and this is how they did it. So like you said, you feed into it, but they can also feed into you, because as you're talking, like interviewing is also a conversation.
Yeah.
They can also learn something from you. And they're like, oh, by the way, Consolate, you know, I also wanted to do that thing, but this and this. And then you're like, you see, this is what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
So having conversations is really good. So it helps you tap into each other's experiences and see how they can help you in your own life.
Yeah. I'm curious, what informed the decision to have a magazine that tells the stories of women only?
We noticed that most mainstream media highlights more of men than women. And when they highlight women's stories, it's not so, what should I say, like a 360 degree angle.
Yeah.
There's a specific direction that they always like to take. Maybe they're like sexualizing them.
Yeah,
something like that. They don't come out to tell the amazing things that they've done in a greater light or whatever it is. So first we decided that will be our angle. We shall front their stories in this angle of like, hey, look at this woman. She's done this. She's accomplished this. This is what she has done for her community and whatever. Apart from her being the person behind, you know, doing the things behind the scenes and what. No, I mean, they also have their own superpowers, and this is what they've been able to do. So
yeah,
that is what informed that decision.
Powerful. I think that's a very powerful idea.
Mm.
So you still work on radio.
Mm-hmm.
For those that might not know, although I'm not sure why you don't know at this point, Consolate runs the AM to PM show, right, on Capital FM, the one that Flavia Tomsimi, I think, used to run for quite a bit. So you are still working in mainstream media, but you've gained all this experience from, like, you know, telling positive stories about women on the side as something that you're doing together with your friend.
Yeah.
Are there those points of conflict where, with your work in the mainstream media house, based on your experience from what you're doing for Gleam, you're like, this story should not be passing, or like, this should be presented better with the mainstream media
house? Oh, definitely. All the time. all the time. Like sometimes I'm even watching like interviews on TV. There's one I watched recently.
Yeah.
And it was Women's Day.
Mm.
I won't mention the TV, but it was a guy.
Why won't you mention that TV?
I won't name call. Okay. So first of all, it's a guy interviewing two women.
Yeah.
And you can tell that he's really shallow about mm-hmm. the questions yeah. he's asking. Mm. He's asking the generic things that everyone asks. Oh, so do you think women have been able to, as in so plain, eh?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm watching it. And you can tell the ladies are also like, okay, but you know, we're on TV, we have to answer.
Irritated, yeah.
So I was a bit irritated by the choice of questions he decided to. You know, again, that's the narrative we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That of trying to trivialize their achievements and their contribution and everything and trying to make it look like, it's not all that. So a lot of times, again, that's why we decided to do Gleam, but also like in the other stories that I do tell, because I also work with some content creators who are also like women and they're also passionate about telling those stories. We make sure we take the angles that we want. Like we tell the stories that we want people to, you know, get and understand, not these things that are always, you know, done in the media, mainstream media, where they try to trivialize most of those things. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, that's why I also work with content creators. So, because right now they're the ones who are telling the stories on Instagram, on their reels and whatever. So, I produce a lot of those kinds of stories with them.
Now, in the past, like 15 minutes or so of this conversation, you have been a radio presenter, you have been a writer that owns a magazine, and you have been someone that works with creatives.
Mm.
Let's get a little bit more into that as well. Mm. I know that you, I don't know, what's your role there like? Because I know you work for Kafunda Creative.
Yeah.
First of all, could you help us, you know, like the listeners that might not really know what that is, although it's been around for quite a bit. So what exactly does Kafunda Creative do, and what does your role there look like? Are you a curator? Are you, you know, a boss of the bosses? Are you like a boss of the bosses of the bosses? What's that like?
So Kafunda Creative is a fellowship of creatives working together to produce, you know, kick-ass work. I call it kick-ass work.
Yeah.
So we have a collection of very many creatives, designers, photographers, videographers, copywriters, all these creatives who do different kinds of things. And what we do is that we bring them together to skill them, tool them, and grow their talent, but also connect them to different markets. Yeah. Because one of the problems that most creatives in this country have is they do not have a source of, like, you know, someone to connect them to a market where they can make money. Like, I have all this talent, but how do I make money off it? So something like Kafunda, we get different brands that give us work because they know we have all these talented creatives. So what we do is that we create this marketplace that connects the client to the creative. But also when I talk about tooling them, you might find that someone has a camera, but they lack a lens, a specific kind of lens, or whatever it is. And it's those things are very expensive. So what we do is that if you're working with us, we can provide you with those things so that you don't have to hustle or like miss out on work just because you're missing a specific kind of tool. Yeah. But then also with skilling, we do these things that we call peer-to-peer learning.
Mm-hmm.
So you get someone like, for example, a very skilled photographer and bring them in a room. Then you collect all the other people who are like aspiring photographers so that this person can teach them, guide them, what has their process been like. So those are the skilling programs that we do. We call them clinics. And we also have the creative sprint that we do once every year where we collect all kinds of brilliant minds in different fields so that they can come and share with the young creatives who want to go where they want to go. So in a nutshell, that is basically Kafunda Creative.
Beautiful. I think I attended one of the, was there like an annual thing that you guys do that had those sorts of conversations? I attended one at Kabalaza at some point. The speakers were, I think, Andrew Pakutho as a photographer, and there's a videographer as well, I think Sally.
Yeah.
Sally spoke there as well. The conversations were quite like insightful. There was like quite a lot of great ideas. But post-COVID, that I realized during COVID and post-COVID, those were not really happening. Is that like something in the works again? Or?
So they actually, during COVID, they went online. Ah, if you were following, they went online. We used to get like those creatives who want to share And then we do like an online thing on Facebook. And we could also stream it to other people who wanted to watch it. So we did that. But now they are back physically, the physical ones. But right now, at the moment, we're just trying to get ready for the creative sprint. Mm-hmm. So we've not yet this year. We're in March this year. We've not yet had like a physical clinic yet. But all those are in the works because it's part of the work that we do.
Yeah.
So you had asked, what do I do there? Right now, I'm the community lead. So I make sure, you know, we reach out to the communities we need to. Mm-hmm. We make sure we look good. We communicate well. You know, the branding looks good.
Look good.
You're the first. You go out, you speak about it, like what I'm doing here. But also because the team lead is currently not around. He's gone in Kigali, but he's also trying to do something like that there.
Mm-hmm.
So at the moment, should I call myself country manager?
Yeah. You're the country director.
Right. So right now I'm sort of like in charge of the team here.
You're the kingpin here.
Mm-hmm. I'm the kingpin here right now. So, yeah.
Beautiful. Mm. What's the creative sprint exactly?
So the creative sprint is more of like a bigger clinic. Only that, because when we do the clinics, it's one topic, one person. You know, they're smaller, they're intimate and all that. But the creative sprint will bring everyone in their social fields. And the creative sprint is also 3 days. So we give you 3 days of, you know, knowledge and, you know, for creators who want to like get into businesses or they're struggling on getting clients, they don't know how to brand themselves and all that. We bring them these big minds that, you know, in the industry. Yeah. Those ones that everyone would be dying. You know, you're like, oh man, that guy is good. We bring them to you for free and you come and you learn from them. If you can't reach them, we bring them to you. So, yeah.
The creative industries are heavily talent-based sort of industry, you know, based on what you love to do and passion and things. And where a lot of creatives draw the line, or where, you know, the challenge comes in is, one, how to commercialize their craft, and two, how to add a bit of professionalism to their craft. From your experience working with creatives so far, I mean, you already mentioned there's that linkage that Kafunda Creative creates, you know, between the client and the creative, which I guess answers the commercialization part. From your experience working with creatives so far, how would you say you found, you know, professionalism in the industry? Is that something that you think young creatives struggle with a lot? And is that something that you guys support them on? Or is it something that you think comes easily to them?
First of all, most people have this thing about creatives.
Mm-hmm.
Already they look at us like, those ones, they're unserious. They already have a bias, right? And with Kafunda, actually, if you're a Kafunda creative, we've already helped you professionalize it, like you're saying.
Yeah.
But like if you're an individual, it's also very hard for people to take you seriously if you do not know how to present yourself to the client. So they're like, ha, most creatives, they run away, they don't communicate, they don't do what. And that is why you'll find they'll come to someone like Kafunda, because they know we are in charge. The creative can't run away. We are accountable to whatever it is. So it's a better thing for you to come and work with someone who already has like a professional setup. So with the people who work with us, the creatives who work through Kafunda, they've already professionalized themselves by doing that.
Yeah.
So, cause it's very easy. We even give them like legal, in case anything has happened.
And, wow. Mm-hmm. You give them legal.
Mm-hmm. So we have that provision, but also the other thing is that, creatives also don't know their worth, or they don't know how to bargain for it, or whatever it is. So what happens if you're working alone and then you work for a client and you haven't signed anything, or you have no witness, or, you know, it's just unprofessional. So when they don't pay you, you make a lot of noise, but what do you have to show for it? Yeah, that is why you're supposed to learn how to professionalize your work as a creative. But also the other thing is that creatives are not paid well in this country. And yet you find that someone needs a lot from you. Yeah. These are not things that anyone can do. This is talent. This is skill that some people have even gone to school for it. So it takes a certain kind of, a certain kind of grit or a certain kind of skill for you to be able to get that from a specific person. So if someone wants to come and give you 100K for a job that is 600K, most creatives who have not professionalized their work will take it and after that complain that, you know, they're being overworked. But what we do at Kafunda is that we ask our creatives, how much would you do for this job? And if the client can't afford it, we're not picking it on, because we don't want to exploit them. Yeah, we don't want them to work for money that is not, you know, worth it. So we make sure the creative is well paid and they're happy, and the client also gets their work and they're happy. So yeah, that is the, I think that's the importance of if you cannot do it as yourself, as an individual, it is very good to, you know, work with a platform like Kafunda. It really helps.
Yeah. The legal aid that you offer the creatives, does that come as part of like a membership package, or is that a separate arrangement for when they need it?
So when they need it, they get it when they need it. It doesn't have it. The moment you sign up as a Kafunda Creative.
Free.
No, it's free. The moment you sign up as a Kafunda Creative, you've earned it. Because we're now in control. We're in charge of you. It's like we are your, what should I say, caretaker or something like that. Yeah. We're looking out for you and your best interests.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in case you've worked under us and anything goes wrong, we help you out because you're our person. You're one of us.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
So what's the revenue stream like for Kafunda Creative? Do the clients access the creatives for free, or do they pay for that? And is the signing up on the creative side free, or is there, you know, a price tag attached to that?
So for the creatives, it's free.
To sign up?
Yes.
With Kafunda Creative?
Right. With the creatives, it's free. You just come, sign up, share a link to your work, because most of the times when the client comes and they want a specific kind of job done, we're not going to just assign them anyone. We have to look at the work you've done and we see if it matches the exact needs of the client. And that's when we shall reach out and match you up with this client. So for the creatives, it's free. You just sign up, put your work, put your details, and we shall reach out to you as and when work shows up.
Yeah.
Then for the client, of course, you're supposed to come through, sign up, but also give us a brief of what exactly you want. So after you've given us that brief, we shall get the creative or the talent that best suits whatever your task is, and then we shall tell you this is the budget, and then it's up to you to pay if you can afford it.
I guess what I was asking is
yeah,
when you quote to the client, is there like, you know, like an agency cut for Kafunda Creative, you know, for, I mean, you guys have totally invested in finding
definitely
the creatives. You know, you've given them a brand to attach to, and you know your accountability and your reputation is at stake here if, you know,
should anything go wrong
on the creatives part. So is that all something you like take into account? Like, is there a cut that comes?
Definitely, there's a cut, because how do we operate then?
That's what I was curious about.
No. It has to happen. For example, if you're paying 100K for the talent, for the work that's going to be done, if that is the exact cut that the creative is taking, then maybe we can bill you 150 or 200. And the other cut is for Kafunda, because you're working through us, we are managing things for you.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you wouldn't have us if you had just gone directly to the client. So there's also a cut that goes to the company to keep things going.
Yeah.
Right.
A lot of storytellers deal with what we call a broken bird syndrome, in the sense that, like you said, a lot of the stories that you collect somehow resonate with, you know, a life experience you've had, or you identify ways you think you can help the people that you supported and things of the sort. Where do you draw the line as a storyteller? Where do you realize that, you know, we are collecting these stories. Yes, I'm a journalist, because it's actually not like just a storyteller problem. It's also like a journalistic problem. Like, how much do you relate with the story? To what extent? Probably know of that journalist, the one that apparently committed suicide because he had photographed a picture of a starved child that a vulture almost, I think, ate up and stuff like that. And then, like, it became viral and the public reaction was, you know, you took a picture instead of saving the child and stuff like that. How far in do you go with the stories that you collect as a broken bird? Like, when you identify those stories, do you do that thing where you follow up with a subject on what they're going through and stuff like that? Crowdfund whenever maybe they might need help in a sense or another, or figure out ways to help them? Or is that something that you detach yourself from?
That is really very tricky. But I think the most important thing that I consider personally is what is my intention going into telling the person's particular story. If I decide on a person, if I zero down on a person, I'm like, okay, this is the person's story I want to tell. I have an intention as to why, and I have an angle that I want to take. So like that example that you gave, if this person went and took this photo of this child who looked so starved and whatever, what was their plan? Did they just take it to keep it for themselves, to just show that, I don't know, it always helps to have an intention. So that helps you to, I'll draw the line here, I will do this and this, or I won't do this, right? So sometimes the stories we tell, like, for example, the ones we used to do with Gleam, the thing is, we're like, okay, because we used to target mostly working people or people who have these organizations that they want to grow, or businesses or whatever. So we're like, okay, if we give this person a platform, way more people will know about what they do because it's a good cause. And when more people know about it, it's actually easier because most people who donate money or most people who help out need another credible source to confirm that what you're doing is actually legit and it exists. So we're like, if we put this person's story out here and they can even share this link with whoever it is, then at least we're accountable. If the person comes to us and says, oh, you guys told this person's story, so what do they do and what? So you have a third party or a second party to back up exactly what you're doing. We used to have a lot of women coming back to us like, oh my God, you guys, thank you. Can you believe CNN came and ran a feature on me because I shared this, or these guys came through for me and donated. Now the company is growing. Oh my God. Like, you don't know how you're contributing in a small way. But at the end of the day, you're supposed to know what the intention is. So for us, our intention was like, we need to let people know that there's someone there that is doing this amazing thing, but people don't know anything about it. So when they know it, what do they do? How will they react? They'll come and support. They'll come and help them grow. They'll blast it on a way bigger platform. And before they know it, this thing will become so big. So I think it's always good to have an intention and a purpose so that when you go into telling this story, you know where your limits are. That you're like, I want to do this. I want to do this because that is not why I came here. You just know what your angle is. Yeah. Because if you just go far, then you'll collect everything and then you get lost in whatever it is.
Yeah, that's the syndrome precisely. Yeah. Like every time you identify a need to help from, because it's within the nature of our work, you know, like as storytellers, like you will always come across stories that you think deserve your intervention here and there. It's a tricky way to draw the line.
Yeah.
At some point you kept saying the things that Gleam used to do. Have they changed or does
it? No, that's still the goal. The only reason why I said used is because right now we're like on a hiatus. So we're trying to rebrand and do different things. But for now, personally, me, I'm more invested into like telling stories via documentaries and video and whatever. So I'm like I told you now, I'm working with different creatives.
Yeah.
But I'm also working with Kafunda to tell the creative stories in video form. Like instead of just probably interviewing them and writing a blog, you go to where they are, you see their work. Now we're trying to tell their stories as individuals. You see that thing I was telling you about face value? Mm-hmm. No. Now I want to know what inspired you to do this.
Yeah.
Why do you do it? What does it mean to you? What is your creative process like? Again, we're learning more about them, but we're also inspiring other people who want to do what they're doing. But then we're also helping the client understand that, hey, this is why this guy does this and this and this. Because sometimes the client will be more inspired of like, okay, you know, we could be sharing, you know, that thing of like when you're interviewing someone, you're learning from them and they're learning and you're resonating. So a client will be like, okay, this person will even do it better because they have like this kind of background and these kinds of inspirations. So that is what we're trying to do. We're trying to tell those stories for our creatives, but also with the different content creators that I'm working with.
Yeah.
We're trying to still do the same thing. Like, do not just look at someone via face value and all that, but who are they as a person?
You work with creatives privately and also with Kafunda Creative, which I guess involves a managerial sort of role to it. You sort of manage them.
Manage? I don't like being a boss of things. More like,
you just said you were a country director in someone's absentia, so I don't know.
In someone's absentia. It really makes me uncomfortable to even say it because I don't like it when people look at you like, or why you're the boss or you're the team lead or whatever.
Yeah.
I just like gelling with people. I just like working with people the way we are. I like putting ourselves on the same level so that I understand you understand me. There's that thing that happens when people attach a certain kind of status to you. Importance to you.
Yeah.
Probably they are scared to tell you exactly how they feel or exactly what they're going through and all that. And I never wanted to be, I always wanted to be, hey, I'm with you. We're together in this. Let's talk together. Let's work together. Like, we are all human beings. We are no more, you know, let's figure these things out together. So I don't like having that kind of thing.
Okay.
Though it's there, it's, it's just a title, but it's nothing.
Okay, so yeah. it partly answers a question that I was about to ask you. From your experience, well, managing managing the creatives, what lessons have you picked up? Because you mentioned earlier on that there's a general bias with people that work with creatives about who they are as people.
Yeah.
And I'd like to think that from your experience working with them, you've known better along the way, or you've gotten to a level where you sort of understand them better. Are there lessons you've picked up along the way on how to better work with creatives that you think would come in handy with people that work with creatives that are not creatives themselves?
So this is really it might be very complicated.
Yeah.
But one of the things is to understand someone as an individual, which is a bit complicated if you don't really work with them closely. Mm-hmm. But for me, it has helped me because particularly there's a specific person that I work with that very many other people feel like, man, this person is just over lazy. Yeah. Oh, this person is confused.
Yeah.
Oh, this person is what? And yet when it comes to me, like he delivers and he gets things like done and he understands. Yeah. So I'm like, have you understood who this person is? Have you understood where they're coming from? Like sometimes that's why you need to know people beyond the way they present themselves because it helps you better manage them, better understand them. Because why is my work getting done and yours is not getting done? Or why are you complaining that he doesn't understand, but he's doing my work and he understands it? So also there's a way you need to like just know people more of who they are than the talent or the skill that they bring. Yeah, because they will also relate to you differently. Yeah, that is one thing. But also the other thing is creatives don't want so much, right? They want to be paid well, right? And the thing is that when a client approaches a creative or whatever it is, there should also always be like terms of understanding. If you're having a conversation, right? There's things that you should highlight almost immediately. Deadlines, or what are you looking for? What exactly? You should also say things like, will I get another revision? Or how much money do you pay after this part of the work is done? Then how do you, like there's a lot of things. It's not a lot, but if you state those things and they're very clear, it's very easy for you to work with creatives. The only reason is that why creatives have that bias is like, okay, when the client keeps on demanding and whatever, then you switch off your phone, then you fake sickness and all those things don't get delivered. It is because we get into these working partnerships without laying down those terms and conditions. Because if you told the client, you can only check on me maybe after 2 days or after a week I'll have it or this and this and this, you will not have that someone incessantly looking for you because you get tired of them. You're like, fam, but is it their fault? No, because you did not come into the agreement with a set lineup or a set list of things that you should do and how you should do them.
Deliverables, so, expectations. Yes,
it's just
things.
Being organized, really. Yeah. It's just really being organized. When you get into those first meetings, make sure you go down to the core things. And then, I mean, you won't hear a lot of people complaining at a creative acquisition. No, at this one has gone my work missing. At a client hasn't paid me.
Yeah.
Why? Because you're all just there. Right.
That's very interesting. Let me steer the conversation a bit. There's generations, right? And that cuts across all things, including the creative industry. Have you noticed a notable difference between millennial creatives and Gen Z creatives? And if there's been a difference, have you had to adjust in how you relate with the two different generations as a manager of creatives? I'll keep calling you manager. I don't know. At some point, it will rub in.
Honestly, for some reason, I feel like right now, most of the creatives that I work with personally are more millennials.
Okay.
I think millennials are more manageable.
Okay.
But I also like the way Gen Z's work because they know what they want. And for them, they come like with clarity of like, I don't want to say it, but they won't take BS, whatever it is. The things that millennials, what is the other generation before millennials?
Who are they before? There's Generation X?
Maybe Generation X.
Yeah.
There are some things they conform to because it has been, that's how it has been. That's how it's been done. But then some Gen Z's and actually some millennials are trying to say no. I will not do this and this. I will not do A, B, and C. Like, because why? This is what I want. Like, they are more outspoken about their needs and what they won't take. And they also have this thing of like, okay, if you don't have the money that I need, then I won't do it. By now, they have this thing of seguya. You get? Like,
is that a necessarily good thing?
I think it is a good thing.
Yeah.
It's a good thing. It could be a bad thing, but I think it's a good thing. Because you know your value. You know your worth. You know what you're bringing to the table.
Yeah.
And you're setting your own rules. So it's a good thing. I think it's really a good thing. Everyone should, like, employ it. Not with arrogance, but just be clear about it. Be confident and just be clear about it. Yeah, but I think when it comes to millennials and Gen Zs, there's really not too much of a difference because I think it's the time that we're in. Most creatives are like, I want to do that for this. Like, they're more understanding of their value and what they bring to the table and whatever it is. So I think it's not more of the generations, but it's more of the time of like, we're not going to conform to this standard, or we're not going to do this and that. So everyone is like sort of like falling in line. I think that's what I should say. Yeah.
What would be a very interesting case is to have a Generation X client with the request that only a Gen Z creative within your database can deliver on. I think it would be a very interesting point of interaction to see with you in the middle.
again that's why it's good
that's
to have
why
us
you're there, yeah.
That's why it's good to have us, because we understand where the client is coming from, we understand where the creative is coming from, so we shall make things work for both of
them. So you're in this space to sort of understand cross-generational creativity.
So we shall help each other, we shall help them understand each other, or we shall work with a creative and we shall work with a client and make sure they both have what they want. We shall be the neutralizer.
Hopefully it won't get to the part where it requires legal aid.
I mean, by the way, it's very hard to come by, but sometimes if we have a complicated client, we can chase them. Yeah.
Oh.
Sometimes all money is not, I mean, money should not kill you. We want it, but we also want our lives, and we also want to work in a healthy environment. Mm. So there are those clients who will come with kajanja, you know, and if the team, all the creatives doing the work feel like it's too much or whatever, no, we have no problem telling the client to look elsewhere, because it's also important for everyone to work in, to feel like they're working in a healthy environment and they're happy with whatever they're doing. Because there's some people who will go beyond the rules they set and try to make things. You know, these people are always saying, hey, by the way, this has just fallen. Can you change this and this today, before this what? Man, you're working with human beings, not robots.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, if there's some kind of clash, we can be like, okay, maybe next time. But we know someone can help you or try somewhere else.
Wow. Consulate, I'll be letting you go soon. But before I do that, back to your individual role in the media space. You recently took on, well, not so recently, but you recently took on the AMPM show. What was that like, you know, stepping into the shoes of Flavia Tomasime, who had been running the show for quite a bit.
A very, very long time, actually.
A very, very long time. So what was that like for you? Did that come with its fears? Did that come with its challenges? Did that come, and what was that transition like? What did you have her there to support you into the sport, or did you have to go in just running?
So the funny thing is, Flavia was always one of the people that I looked up to.
Okay.
Right from when she was on Teens Club. I used to watch it and everything. I really admired her. And I think the first time I got into radio, that's when I was at campus. The first time I sat in for my friend at Hot 100, which is now Kiss. I was like, you know what? I was looking for, should I call them role models or no? Let me call them mentors. I was always looking for mentors, people who could like guide me on how to do things better. And she was actually one of the people that I reached out to. And she was very forthcoming with the knowledge and everything. And this is like, at some point I was in Barra. Of course, I couldn't be there to see her physically, but like sometimes she would like, you know, you hit her in the DM. That's a good thing about social media. If you can use it for your good, then it can help you out. So yeah, she would give advice. I would talk to people like Sima, people like Jackie Lumbasi. Like, I always had people that I was getting knowledge from, like sending them clips. What can I do better? Blah, 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 you know? And then, interestingly, when I left Barra, because I'm also a voiceover artist, by the way, I have my own.
Like I said, it's more a problem of what she can't do. It's not a problem of what she can do.
Yeah. So I'm also a voiceover artist, and I'm a freelance. I've voiced very many things. Some of them are in the US, by the way. I'm that international. So yeah, because I work with different agencies, international agencies that always get me gigs and stuff.
Nice.
Yeah. So with all those people that I was talking to, looking for mentors, it's Jackie Lumbasi who introduced me to the producer at Capital, and I started voicing sweepers for them. So in that process,
what's that? What's sweepers?
You know these things that you hear of, like, what should I say? It's like a liner that goes through the show, constantly on the AM to PM, or you're listening to this person. Oh, are sweepers, yeah. Right? And I started doing sweepers for them, and then it is very funny how I actually got onto the funny thing is I had always wanted to be on Capital, but there had never been space. There had never been, because I had even tried asking the PD and what, but nothing. So I was like, you know what? I guess that's not my space or whatever. Yeah. I had actually given up on it for real. And given up. I had, okay, not given up, but I was done with radio. I had told myself I'm done with radio.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this Saturday show that they were doing, the lady had gone on maternity leave. And they had a topic that needed like a female perspective. So just as a friend, he asks me, one of the guys, can you just come in, you know, give us a small perspective or whatever. So I come in and we have a blast on the show. Can you come in again next Saturday? Can you come in again next Saturday? And I just kept coming in.
Like come in and like present with them?
Yes, with them.
Okay.
So I just started doing it. And obviously because I had some radio experience and all, the people who are listening in obviously liked, you know, the way I was presenting and everything. And before I knew it, an opportunity presented itself for me to sit in for Flavia. So I first sat in for her in 2020 when she had gone on leave. I sat in for her for 2 weeks. And when she came back, I would then come in once in a while. Whenever she wasn't around, I would come in and sit in for her. And eventually when she decided to leave, since I had been sitting in for her, they were like, you know what, come and do it. And the last show, of course, I was there, the last show she did. Mm. She told me a few things and, you know, gave me some advice and stuff and stuff. And then she left. I came in having radio experience, but I was a bit, I had some anxiety. Yeah. And it's not like, girl, you've been doing this.
Yeah.
What are you anxious about? Mm. But because here you are, Uganda's biggest radio, that's what it is. Flavia has been doing it. She's like a very huge, well-known media personality and all that. And then me, Consolate, I think I just have a few fans somewhere there and there.
You're a big deal.
Yeah. So, I mean, I had some anxiety, especially that first week, because I felt like, man, I have a lot to prove. I had those voices in my head.
Yeah.
But then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do me. I've been doing this for a while. And if what I'm selling, they're buying it, you know, that will be fine. And if they're not buying it, it's also okay. So I came on and I did my thing. The thing is that I love radio. It's passion. It's a passion that, I don't know, like, it's something that you can wake up in my sleep and I go and I do a link. Because I always have things in my head. I always have stories. We've been talking about storytelling. I can say something and immediately get like a link about it or whatever it is.
Okay, yeah.
So again, in as much as it was easy for me, there was a lot of pressure. Man, you see, filling big shoes.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, okay, who is doing the show? Now Flavia has the priest doing the show. Everyone is just listening in to see, how is she?
And there's like a whole public thing about it, right? Her leaving.
Oh, yeah. So, no, everyone, most people knew she had
everyone
left.
Knew she was leaving.
So I'm very sure they were just listening. So
everyone was looking out for who's coming.
Yes,
on.
I think they were just listening in to see, okay, who is doing the show next.
Yeah.
But, you know, since I'd been on radio before and all that, it wasn't a lot of that. Okay, you get scared, definitely.
Yeah.
But what made me feel at home and is because some of the people that have been listening to me on my radio journey were calling in and just telling me, oh my God, we're so excited you're back. We're excited to have you here. Like they were giving me
on air
affirmation. Like, yes, on air affirmation of like, yes, you're doing good, da da da. And that made me feel like, okay, let's do it. Let's see where it goes. But you see that thing I said about the law of attraction?
Yeah.
Me having been a fan of Flavia for that long and then end up like, you know, getting into her show. Like up to now, I'm like, what? It's wild.
It's wild. You're still processing it.
It's wild.
Now.
Like, how did it happen?
How
like,
long have you been on?
So this is my seventh month.
Seventh month.
Yeah.
Wow.
Consistently doing the show. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Powerful. I'm really excited for, you know, like how your thing is panning out, considering. Also, I'm a huge believer in the law of attraction. Mm. I want to. I believe in manifesting things into existence and things. I have a vision board and the whole thing. So it's exciting to see someone that it's actually working out for.
Mm.
And also, I think it's amazing to see like a storyteller that does 360 storytelling and things. So people tend to have a niche.
Yeah.
Is that something that, do you ever find challenges with that? The fact that, you know, you have to take into account all elements of the story when you tell it. Or is it you having a team around you, does that make it easier for you to do? Or is it something that you face challenges with ever?
So the thing is, like I told you, if you're going to it mm-hmm. knowing what your intention is and how you want to like highlight this person, or you know where you want to take it, it's not hard. Mm-hmm. It's really not hard, because if the person you're talking to is authentic and mm-hmm. they've also understood where we're doing this, they will share on whatever level they want to.
Yeah.
And you will end up even learning more or getting more than what you expected. So it's also very important to have authenticity in whatever it is that you're going to do. And even when you actually asked me that, the like doing Clavier show and all that, mm-hmm. I realized that we totally have two different styles.
Yeah.
We're two different people. So if I had gone into it thinking, oh my God, I need to be like her, or I need to do this and this, it would never have worked. So you just come with your authenticity, with your style,
yeah.
do you, and people will actually pick up on it. So even when you're going into those stories, yeah, you don't just choose anyone. There's a documentary we've just wrapped up with some friends of mine. We're going to be premiering it late this month or early April. Yeah, March, April, yes. They asked us, because we were partnering with this person to help us with the premiere. It's an organization. And they asked us, why did you choose these four specific people? Because there's very many other people in this field who have done the work and everything. Why did you choose these specific four? And of course, we had our reasons. Yeah. They're going to tell the most authentic stories. They're the most authentic people. They've been on the front line. And like, they're confident enough to speak for everyone else. Because sometimes you will choose someone who won't portray whatever it is in the perfect light. So you have to do your research and make sure you get the right people. And if you get the right people, they'll tell the right story perfectly and everything will be nice. So you just don't get anyone and put them on. You have to have a purpose and intention as well. You're choosing that specific person
because mm-hmm.
they're going to bear the message yeah. in the perfect way. Yeah. Like we could have the same story, but I could be able to, you know, articulate it better than you.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to put you there. I'll say, consulate, come and take it.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. Totally get you.
Mm.
Wow. So what's the future like for consulate as a storyteller?
Hmm.
Like in terms of plans, where do you see that heading? With radio, with Gleam, with Kafunda Creative, and also just individually as a storyteller, what do you see yourself wanting to do?
I'm the kind of person who doesn't like over projecting, because okay. I also don't like, you know, this question they ask, where do you see yourself in 5 years? I do not like that.
Yeah,
question.
I asked that without asking it. Like,
yeah.
So what I did there.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying I do not like that question, because I also don't like over projecting.
Mm-hmm.
I am the kind of person who sometimes even lives by the day.
Mm-hmm.
Take everything day by day and whatever, as long as I know what I want to do. As a story, you know, life keeps lifing. It keeps happening. You never know what happens. But I know as a storyteller, I want to tell impactful stories. Mm. I want to tell stories that, you know, can inspire people to aspire to be something, but also to, like, you know, do some improvements or changes for the betterment of everyone, right? Those are stories I want to tell. Stories that can make you think critically about certain things and, you know, what should I say? Tune your mind or your brain to seeing things differently and appreciating, you know, different angles and everything. I just want to tell interesting stories, but also like those ones that empower you and all those things, like all those angles, yeah? Not just, what should I say? Like I told you, intention and purpose. Don't just go and tell a story for. Know why you want to tell it and know what impact you want it to make. That is what is going to help you tell like more meaningful stories. Like you look at your work and you're like, wow, I did that. Like I'm so excited for people to see this last project we've worked on, because I have watched all the frames and I'm like, yo, like I even pinched myself. I'm like, hey.
What's the last project?
We are like? Birds. We are
what's
birds.
Like? Without giving away too much, what's the last project like? And then we'll let you know.
What do you mean? What is it like? Like,
because you said you were very proud of the project. And you said you're very excited to, you know, like for people to see it.
Yeah.
So just give us, you know, like a rough picture of what.
It's so hard to give you a rough picture without giving it away.
But let me just say,
there's four people that are the main people telling their stories. And they are very big names in this country. Like very well respected in that field, and they bring out the message
in a particular
perfectly.
Field.
They bring out that message so perfectly. It's a generational thing. The oldest person is 94, and the youngest is 27, I think. And in between, we have like two other people who are. It's a generational thing. So we're just trying to see how have things changed. Is there progress? What are their thoughts? General mindset. It's very interesting. When it comes out, people will know what it is.
Beautiful. Well, yeah. I won't prod you anymore until that. Although I'm definitely curious, I'll do my research and find out.
Yeah,
and
you will know. You're going to know very soon. You're going to know very soon.
I'll do my research and find out. Do you have any parting words you'd like to share?
Parting words, tricky. Yeah.
This is a part where you get like very, very wise and like drop all those.
You see, I know,
inspirational.
So that is pressure already. Each time someone says parting words, pressure, because my mind is going to go all over the place, yeah? Just be decent human beings.
You could just make like a movie quote. Like,
no, just be decent human beings. That is it. That is it. Just be decent human beings. And yeah, that is it.
Wow. Congratulations, Consul, upon actualizing like all these different aspects of your craft. I hope, you know, it keeps working out for you as it is. If you keep manifesting it as per your laws of attraction. How do people reach Kafunda Creative, and how do people reach you, and how do people reach, you know, Glim?
So Kafunda Creative, we have a website, kafundacreative.com. You can just go there. We also have like social media handles at Kafunda Creative on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Then me as Consulate, Consulate Namialo is my name. And that is the name I use on all my social media handles. So if there's anyone who wants to reach out to me, that is it.
Yeah.
It's not very hard. And you know, some people keep on asking, I want your contact. My contact is useless. If you can reach me, let me tell you, if you can reach me.
We want to send you money. What is your problem?
No. Unless you want to send me money.
Does your Facebook receive money?
If you want to send me money, make it clear. And I will give you that avenue where you can send me the money from.
There's a whole other avenue. But also Consulate Namialo.
Right.
That avenue.
Right. But there's some people who are always in your DMs, then asking for your number. You're already in my DMs. Ask me what you want. I am there. I'm going to tell you what it is. If you want to ask for my number, be specific on what you want it for. Because, I mean, I was able to reach Flavia, Sima, all those people, Jackie Lumbasi, all my mentors via social media. And eventually we became friends, you know? So sometimes you just have to show the person that what your intention is. And if they're willing to help you in whichever way, it will be a seamless thing. But and that is advice for young people, man. They don't know what they want. That should be something. Because right now I have all those people's numbers now.
Yeah.
And like I can talk to them and you know, but I didn't go there, give me your number. What do you want?
So there's levels to this.
There's levels to this thing.
You just jump and say, give me your number.
Purpose and intention.
Yeah.
People can always read into it. Oh no, this one wants to BS around. They don't even give you attention.
Yeah.
So you're always supposed to be very clear. And this is something that I almost forgot. Yeah. People who just come to your DMs and just say, hi.
And then just like,
hi.
Wait for you to
get back to them. No, I'm not going to get back to you.
Yeah.
Because why are you hiring me? Say hi and say exactly what you want.
I relate with it way too. You know, like, it's just like, hi, how are you? I'm okay, how are you?
No.
I'm good. Okay. There's like a whole moment of
honestly,
silence
for
there.
Me,
like,
for me,
why
if
did
it's
you
just
reach
a
out?
Hi, yeah. If it's just a hi,
you're
not
responding.
Not
to it. Yeah.
I am not responding. Say hi, Consulate. I'm Morris. This is, I know you from this.
These
and
are
this.
My intentions.
This is,
I want to send you some
would
money.
Would you like to do this and so. This? Yeah, I want to send you some money. Where should I pass it through? You know? Or I want to learn more about this. I get very people tell me, I want to learn more about podcasting. You know about it. I see you tell stories. You work with videographers. How can I do this and this?
Yeah.
And I always respond to those people because they know why they are reaching out.
Yeah.
You direct them somewhere or you... But if you come with your highs, you will keep on highing. until you know what you want.
Consulate Namyalo, ladies and gentlemen. If you have any questions, if you have any highs you'd like to send, if you have, you know, any other intentions you have that you'd like to communicate, please don't hesitate to reach out to her on social media. If you want her number, I mean, I might or might not have her number, but that's something you guys will never know. I guess you'll never find out. Don't forget to check out kafundacreative.com, right? That's where the sign-up page is for creatives.
Yeah, that's
as
where
well,
it is.
Right?
It's very clear. You can't miss it. Sign awesome. Up as a creative. Just go down there.
And... awesome. It's exactly where I'm headed to after here. I'll be sure to sign up. So
I hope you're not a complicated creative.
I don't come with a lot of baggage.
But you have some, eh?
I also have like for standards and principles and those things, but we'll communicate those. Yeah. Cool. And when you're done checking out Kafunda Creative across all socials, don't forget to check out AfriMillennial as well. If you have any feedback, if you have anything you'd like to say to Consulate, but not tell her directly, we can be your avenue. We can get that to her as well. Just leave your comment, leave your like, leave your share, and we'll be happy to engage with you. Thank you. And until next week, it's goodbye.
Yay! We're done.